the Experienced Darden podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Joanne Meyer. Joanne is Assistant Dean for Digital and Instructional Initiatives here at the Darden School of Business, and she and I recently caught up to talk about the school's transition to virtual classes. So without further ado, here's my interview with Joanne Meyer. Joanne, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
We're so appreciative of your taking the time out. I know this is a super busy time for everybody at the school. First and foremost, how are you and your family doing right now? Everybody healthy and well?
Yes, thank you. Thankfully, we are healthy and well. We are all home and rarely leaving the house.
So like many other people, all together all the time.
Yes, my first year is home from UVA. She's a little bit sad about that, but she's home. And our high school senior is bemoaning the loss of her graduation and beach week. But we are having family suppers every night, so we're not complaining.
One of the podcasts that I listened to, obviously, I listened to Fresh Air, and they recently had Sam Sifton on from New York Times. I promise this will relate. And he was talking about sort of getting together with your family and making that space and sort of being intentional about your time together. It's so rare to be able to do that in the flow of normal, sort of quote unquote normal life, our busy, hectic lives. And so in a strange way, this particular moment has created a context in which that might be easier to do. That's sort of a romantic way of looking at all this time together, but I wonder what you might think about that.
No, I think it's a wonderful way to look at it. It reminds me of something that Bob Bruner said early on in a faculty meeting. He said, we can choose how we want to look at this. And I encourage all of us to ask ourselves, what new opportunities will this bring? What new opportunities will we be open to as a result of this? And I thought that was such a beautiful way, especially, you know, for me personally, when this is over, my first year will go back to school and my high school senior will go off to college. And so these times are limited. So I really appreciated Bob bringing that home in such a sensitive way.
Now that's a great point. And, you know, leave it to Bob Bruner to sum things up so eloquently. For our listeners who are less familiar with who Bob is, he is Dean Emeritus of the school. Avid reader. So if you're looking for some reading suggestions, he always puts out a year-end book list, and he also provided a recent list that was profiled on the Darden Report. So looking for something to read, check that out. So Joanne, for our listeners, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do here at the Darden School.
I've been at Darden for 6 years now. I started my career as an elementary school teacher, as a second grade teacher, and I did that up in Northern Virginia, and then came back to school, graduate school, and got a master's and a PhD in curriculum and instruction. And since that time, I've used my degree in a number of different types of roles. So prior to coming to Darden, I was the research director for PBS, an affiliate out of Washington, D.C. And I also did some consulting for the McIntyre School, which was sort of my entrance into the business context and translating it for various audiences. The bulk of my work has been about how to take content and translate it for various audiences, whether it's students or faculty, concerned parents, superintendents, business leaders. And so that sense of audience and translating content for various purposes is really my passion. And so at Darden, my role is, well, my title is Assistant Dean for Instructional and Digital Initiatives. And over the past 6 years, that's looked like everything from creating massive online open courses or MOOCs that allow us to bring Darden faculty and Darden content to the world through the Coursera platform. It's looked at developing materials for our incoming and current students that they might need to support their learning, supporting executive education and the efforts that they're doing in working with all different levels of business leaders, both in a digital and a face-to-face context. So the work at Darden has been really wide-ranging and really fun and exciting.
I didn't know that you had been an elementary school teacher. Do you ever miss the classroom?
I do. When I first finished my PhD, I was on the faculty at the Curry School of Education at UVA. And so for 7 years, I was training students who were learning to be teachers. And then at night, I was training teachers who wanted to become reading specialists. So that was a lot of fun. It was, again, more of the same, like taking content, translating it for various audiences, working right with students, which I really enjoy. The challenge at that time was just juggling family and work life. And so after about 7 years, I just didn't have the time to sit on the dissertation committees anymore. And so I left Curry and started doing my own consulting.
I asked that question as a child of a 40-year teacher in the Charlotte-Mecklenburg school system. My mom has retired, but I can't say that she's left the classroom. Still stays very connected to the work that she does, keeps in touch with all of her friends. If that's your vocation in life, I think once a teacher, always a teacher.
That is true. For many years, I tutored in the Book Buddy program in Charlottesville City Schools, and always still on call for my friends and neighbors who have kids, especially those that are learning to read. That sort of was my wheelhouse when I was in the classroom, and there's nothing like it. I mean, you can take it, you know, the expression, you can take a teacher out of the classroom, but never really.
So what attracted you to the Darden opportunity, your current work here? You mentioned that you've been here for 6 years. What was sort of the initial impulse?
I think it was timing. You know, my own girls at that time were heading to middle school, and they were both athletes, so their time was really taken up, and it really made me realize I had time to finally go back to work full-time outside the home. And the Darden opportunity at that time was just perfect. It was actually Bob Bruner, again, when he was dean, was part of the conversation along with Jean Lipka, who is the Darden faculty member who leads our design thinking efforts. Jean was at a point in her career where she just couldn't keep up with the demand for her to come and talk about design thinking. And she knew there was a better way to scale her work. So she was the one who really brought it to Darden's attention that they needed to do more online work. And so my first project at Darden was to literally work hip to hip with Jean for about 6 months. And we took her design thinking process and turned it into what became Executive Ed's first digital offering. And through that project with Jean, I got to meet a lot of Darden faculty. I got to meet the Darden video folks. And I realized there was just a ton of potential. So that was how I started with Darden. And so the project was good, but the people were better. And that was enough to make me go back full time.
What's it like to work on a project of that scale? I'm sure there's a lot of small things that go into the much larger project plan, but I'm just thinking about like a massive open online course or an exec ed product. You know, obviously it takes hours and hours. What's it like to put work on something like that?
Well, it's really fun. It's actually why I think my time in the classroom has really paid off. It can be a very creative endeavor. And so you look at, you know, you always start with what is it you want to do? What's your objective for this activity? And then how can you best do it? And, you know, through digital and through online, there are a lot of different choices out there, a lot of new choices, and it's changing all the time. So putting it together and working with someone like Jean, it was incredible because Jean's, you know, the whole design thinking process is about, you know, small experiments and failing fast and learning from that and iterating. And she gave me that freedom to do that in developing her courses. So it was all new for Darden. So we figured it out. And it might not have been the most efficient of the processes. So now, you know, the teams are much bigger. We have much more experience. We have a lot more project management experience. We have templates and things like that. But that first one was really an experiment that was very successful. But it, you know, any of the design work, it's very creative. It's very detail oriented. And you have to have a great team behind you, and thankfully, I do.
We've been talking over the past few weeks a lot about online course delivery, right? Because we have transitioned to virtual classes here for the remainder of the semester for our full-time MBA students, for our executive MBA students, for our class of 2021 in particular. Their courses will be online through at least June 30, as what the provost recently shared. You know, when you think about online course delivery as a teacher, you know, what do you think about in terms of sort of the opportunities and maybe the challenges of the medium?
Well, as we've seen through our massive online courses, one of the opportunities has definitely been to scale our reach. There are so many thought leaders around Darden, and the Coursera platform and the courses we now have over 35 courses on the Coursera platform has been able, you know, through that we've been able to reach millions of learners in over 100 countries, and that kind of reach we would never be able to do. And I have several faculty who say to me, I was in the airport in Dubai, and someone came up and said, Professor Freeman, I know you, I recognize you, I took your class. And so it's the reach has been the biggest opportunity. It's also a chance for our faculty to step into this medium, because it's not natural for a Darden faculty member to talk about online. I always say we're the Darden classroom and its Socratic method and the case study approach. There's not a lot of lecturing going on at Darden, and I don't think there's a PowerPoint in sight. So it's been a learning curve for faculty who want to get involved. There's been a learning curve, but there's also tons of possibilities.
So we've talked about transitioning to virtual classes here, and I wonder, you know, obviously our students are up and running and the classes are underway. There is a lot happening behind the scenes with that. Wanted to give our listeners today a sense of everything that's happened behind the scenes and all the little things that had to click into place to be able to deliver all the Darden classes virtually. You're someone who likely has some perspective on that. Do you want to share more about that planning and execution process?
Sure. Yes, it was quite an interesting couple of weeks, because we just didn't know what to plan for. So we were concurrently planning for three different scenarios that ranged everything from the faculty and the students would be able to be in the Darden building, but our students, faculty and staff would be in the building and the students would be remote. And so we actually spent a lot of time on that scenario, because it made a lot of sense. We were able to benefit from our amazing classroom support team and the facility at Darden and the network at Darden. So we spent a lot of time and developed these virtual classrooms there and had the physical room set up that was a really beautiful setup. The classroom support team was amazing in creating those virtual classrooms. As we were doing that, the crisis just continued to unfold, and we pretty quickly realized that not only were the students going to be remote, but some staff and faculty did not feel comfortable coming in and would feel more safe at home. And everyone's safety and health was always the first primary focus of the scenario. So we kind of stepped to this other model where some faculty and some staff were remote, but some were still coming in the building. And that was like this very blended approach. And then finally, with 8 days to go before the first day of class, we transitioned to the scenario that we launched in, which is everybody's remote. So all faculty, all staff, and all students are remote. So the weeks leading up were just very transitional because we kept pivoting. The pivot points were the safety and health of everybody and the ongoing crisis. So with 8 days prior, we just made the decision. Everybody's going to be remote because it felt like that was an inevitability. And we were right. It wasn't long before that the Governor Northam issued the stay at home. So I'm glad we did it with 8 days, but it was a very busy 8 days because suddenly the Darden faculty who had spent time in these virtual classrooms were now at the mercy of their network at home and having to coordinate using perhaps two monitors and an iPad as their chalkboard, which was a big transition. We're super fortunate in that we were able to pull together a stable of course support folks who are online with a faculty member for every single class. And so they are they're helping the faculty, and they're also helping the students. So we're now in week four, and what's nice is that the support is really transitioning from the, how do I log in? I can't see, my camera's not working. Transitioning from that to helping the faculty think, oh, you know, I've got this coming up in my class. How can I do something more interesting next week? What can I do? And so the support has been scaffolded throughout, and it's just lending itself to more creativity on the part of the faculty members. It's really exciting to see.
I was going to ask what you're seeing from the faculty as you talked about their sort of preference to be in person, right? The case method and have that energy of the in-person experience. Obviously, given where we are right now, social distancing and staying at home and being online for these classes, what have you seen from the faculty in terms of their energy and enthusiasm to figure out how to use this platform most effectively?
It's been phenomenal. The faculty have been incredible. So I have a firsthand look at the faculty because Tom Steinberg organized Friday optional faculty meetings. And so all the Q4 faculty are invited to come, and we it's always a pretty well attended meeting. It's Friday afternoon, so it's kind of surprising because we're all exhausted, but it's a chance where the faculty come together and talk about how their week went. And there are lots of emails flying around during the week too, but it's during these meetings where you really get a sense of the incredible commitment these faculty members have. I mean, they're very committed to their craft. They're very committed to their content, but above all, they are committed to the students. So the priority from the very first class meeting has been, how can I, in this medium, create a sense of community? How can I make sure everybody's doing okay? How can I look them in the eye? How can I know that everybody's all right? And we have some students who have stayed in Charlottesville because they now call Charlottesville home, but we have students who are back in South Korea and in India and in China, and the faculty care so much. They've instituted, you know, all different kinds of ways to connect with their students. So we have faculty members holding virtual coffees, a lot of virtual happy hours, theme days. They are just opening up a Zoom meeting outside of class time and saying, just drop in and say hi. And they are intentionally scheduling time with every student just for a one-on-one check-in. The faculty commitment to students and their craft of teaching has never been on better display, I'm telling you. And this Q4 faculty, they are tight with each other. The camaraderie among them is so inspiring. I mean, these Friday afternoon meetings, they're laughing, and it sometimes gets serious because it's a very serious time. And it's a challenge right now to be teaching a course about economic disparity when you are, as a world, staring that in the face as this crisis unfolds. So there's some very serious moments where they're really reflecting on what they're doing and what they're asking the students to do. And then there's just some really lighthearted moments. They're sharing virtual backgrounds that the students are using. They are sharing funny stories. It's been great.
That's no surprise to hear. The faculty have approached it with approached the sort of teaching online with as much energy and enthusiasm as they have. We've talked on this podcast and certainly in other channels about the care and regard that faculty have for the craft of teaching, as you know, but the students and how students are partners here in the learning enterprise and just the enterprise generally. When you think about sort of traditional student self-governance at UVA and the many ways that students are viewed as you know, people who have an equal stake in what takes place here and actively shape their own experience. It's an incredible thing, and it's great to hear that's translating to the online virtual medium. One of the things about these online classes that I think our listeners would be interested in knowing is it's not quite as simple as just, oh, well, we're having a Zoom meeting and you just kind of like join. There's so many people in the background. You kind of talked a little bit about it, but so many people in the background who make this possible, not just the faculty member. Can we talk about the team of people who support sort of these virtual classes and make them run so seamlessly?
Absolutely, absolutely. We're really fortunate at Darden. We have some teams. We've had some teams in place as a result of, you know, our really successful Exec MBA and MSBA program have relied on some form of synchronous instruction for years. So we had a really solid foundation to start with. And the foundation there is Jared Tibbs and the Darden Distance support team. This is what they do day in, day out. And so they were able to sort of be the center of the spoke for training up support. So I talked about every class is fully supported. And so we have a team of 12 support staff who are sitting in on every class. In addition to them, we have online AOC, so our academic operations coordinators, who are taking class recordings and posting them into Canvas and sending chats and attendance to the faculty members. We have the help desk who is helping students with any login issues or authenticating your Zoom or updating your Zoom for security purposes, to Darden Video Production, who's helping everybody make sure that they are looking and sounding their best when you're on Zoom, whether it's for a live class or you're creating a video you need on your own. It's just, I think at last count, I counted about 40 staff members who are dedicated to Q4 success and Darden's success in this realm.
So it takes a village, even with online learning. One of the things that has been on my mind, you know, sort of thinking about this transition of virtual class, it's created opportunities for us. For example, from an admissions standpoint, we're now able to do all these events virtually, and we have discovered that there are, gosh, interesting opportunities for connection and information delivery that we just had not anticipated. Have there been any sort of surprises along the way? Sort of, gosh, well, we thought we could never do that, and here we are, we're doing it, and we've proven to ourselves that we can do it. Anything like that that's come up, Joanne?
Yeah, so I can think of multiple examples of faculty members saying things like, boy, I never really thought I could do this online, but you know what? I kind of can. And it comes through largely because our classes are supported. It frees the faculty member to just focus on the actual learning experience. But our Darden faculty are making heavy use of the breakout rooms and doing really creative things, like our students are going to breakout rooms, and every breakout room might get a different piece of content, and they spend time with that content. Then they come back together, and they all share, and they build on their shared knowledge to create something together as a class. They have, you know, I'd say that The cold call is alive and well in the Zoom classroom, and so most faculty members have some mechanism. Mary Margaret Frank uses a bowl. It has a sign on it. It says Ashes of Problem Students. And in the bowl, she's got every student's name. And so throughout the class, she just pulls out a name and that person gets cold called. So cold call is alive and well, even in the Zoom classroom. Class participation is still really highly valued and expected. I mean, our class norms are such that your camera's on and you come prepared. So the faculty have remarked, and they're not sure if it's because people are at home and have more time to prep, but they feel like students' preparation for Q4 is higher than they normally see. Maybe it's because there are fewer distractions, or maybe it's because the possibility of cold call still exists, but the student preparation has been quite high. It's really rewarding to hear faculty say, "I never thought I could do this online, but I can, and I am." It's been very rewarding.
I can imagine, and certainly to your earlier point about Bob Bruner's comment, you know, to think about sort of the opportunities. Well, that sense of sort of unlocking that potential is in, oh gosh, well now maybe this creates sort of a new way of thinking about my course or course delivery or a new class I might offer. I do want to sort of second what you said about this for the students being such great partners through this. You know, obviously, you know, they are showing up prepared and doing the work and, you know, playing an active role in helping us as a school through this period. It has been such a community effort, and so glad to hear you talk about all the folks that make the online course experience here run so seamlessly. So Joanne, what would you want prospective students to know about the virtual learning experience at Darden? Obviously, we've talked a lot as a school about educational experience. How do you see that filtering through? What should our prospective students know?
Well, being at Darden for 6 years and being very aware that Poets and Quants always ranks Darden number one in the educational experience, I've known that, but this opportunity and this transition has given me the opportunity to really see and hear what that means for students. And I've been blown away, frankly. I've just been so amazed at how much these faculty members care about the students, care about their well-being, care about their health, and care about the experience that they're designing, whether it's online or whether it's face-to-face. The passion for teaching is unlike anything, any faculty that I've worked with. And I see now why we're number one. It's because of the passion and the caring and the sensitivity of our faculty members. It's remarkable.
It does make a good point about obviously there are things everybody's learning along the way, but it helps to be someone who thinks deeply about teaching as you sort of move into an online setting, and to be passionate about that. I imagine that sometimes people may think that teaching online is easier than teaching in person. My hunch, just from leading a few webinars, is it's got to be way more complicated than being in person. I wonder what your thoughts are, Joanne, about delivering an online class.
Oh yeah, it's. I think I know. I would say, and I know the faculty, the Q4 faculty would say, it's much harder. It's much harder. For a number of reasons. You know, there's the technological glitch of someone starts talking and they're muted and then you have to remind them. And then there's this weird pause while they unmute. And so the timing is different and the pacing is different. And also, you know, the faculty talk a lot about being able to read the energy in the room and being able to usurp some of the energy from the room. And that's really hard to do in this environment because your students are all muted. So, I've had faculty members say, I am delivering some of my very best jokes and it's dead silent. They want the laughter, they want the giggles, they want the casual conversation on the side, and it's just not present in this Zoom platform. So when everyone's muted, which makes sense because you have to block out the background noise.
Joanne, I'm so appreciative of your taking the time. Obviously, it's super, super busy moment right now for everyone, everything that's going on in the world, and obviously at work for folks at Darden. Any final thoughts you would want to share with our prospective students, our listeners who are thinking about Darden, possibly starting this August, maybe thinking about starting a little bit later, targeting, say, a 2021 start, if they're just beginning their MBA research process. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
I think my only final thought would be to potential or prospective students, I would want them to know that Darden is thinking about you and planning for you and preparing for you and making sure that whatever environment however we're delivering, it's going to take your health and your safety that's going to be our first priority. Our second priority right behind it is just delivering an amazing educational experience, and that Darden is a really special place.
Well, certainly one of the things that I've taken away from your comments is obviously the regard that people have for the educational experience, the energy that's being devoted to it. I think it could be potentially easy, given all that's going on right now, just to say, okay, well, all that takes a backseat. We've had to make this big transition. We're just going to muddle through. And what I've learned here today, just talking with you, Joanne, is that you and other folks at Darden, obviously, faculty, students, staff, are bringing a lot of energy to this work and thinking about not just doing this, but how can we do this better and continue to improve and iterate. So thank you again for being here on the podcast. Always great catching up with you, and stay safe and stay well.
Right back at you, Brett. Take care.
And that was my interview with Joanne Meyer, Assistant Dean for Digital and Instructional Initiatives at the University of Virginia Darden School of Business. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at Darden, that's D-A-R-D-E-N, at virginia.edu. And until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.